Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Okay, so that's your... All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay? All right. I'm going to go do something, and then I'll come back.
It's yummy. It's really good.
So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? You wanted to eat it, didn't you?
Yeah.
So did I tell you to give me another one? Okay, so now you can have both. You need them.
Researchers at Stanford University ran this test that they called the marshmallow test a number of years ago with a number of four-year-olds. They wanted to see how children would respond to the choice of one sweet now or waiting and getting twice as much. A dozen years after this test was taken, they checked in with all of the children that did the marshmallow test. And they found that those who had not waited and gone ahead and eaten that first marshmallow tended to be more troubled as adolescents than those that had waited. Astonishingly, the one marshmallow kids, if you can believe this, also scored an average of 210 points less on the SAT scores. Evidently, the ability to delay gratification and hold out for something better proves to be an essential trait to life. Now, why did we talk about this? Why did we bring up the marshmallow test? Well, because in our gospel lesson for today, we're looking at what is called the Sermon on the Plain. Now, you may be thinking, wait a minute, Sermon on the Plain. I thought it was Sermon on the Mount. Well, there is a Sermon on the Mount. It's in the book of Matthew. But in the book of Luke, there's a very similar sermon called the Sermon on the Plain. It's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but they have a little different nuances that we're going to look at here today. But in the Sermon on the Plain, there's this idea of delayed gratification when it comes to following the Lord. In verse 20, it says, looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor now, for yours is the kingdom of God." And so there's a little bit of debate as to what does he mean when he said, "Blessed are you who are poor." Because if you look in the Sermon on the Mount, he adds a couple of words. He says, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit." So if that's what Jesus is talking about here, he's saying you recognize that you have disobeyed God by settling for instant gratification. And by the way, if you think about it, behind every sin that you and I do is that idea that we want instant gratification right now. I don't want to wait. Think about it. Why do people commit adultery? Instant gratification. Why do people make love before they get married instead of waiting for God and trusting that He has something better in store for them? Why do people steal? Because I want it right now and I don't trust that God's going to give it to me later. Why do people lie? For the same reason. Heck, I know that I'm speaking to the choir here, but why do people not get up on Sunday morning to go to church and remember the Sabbath day? The instant gratification of being able to sleep in instead of trusting that God's got something good for me if I spend my day with Him. And so those that are poor in spirit recognize that they have oftentimes fell to this desire for instant gratification instead of waiting on the Lord for something better. And so they call on God for forgiveness. They ask Him for the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to wait the next time for Him. And all the while, your faith grows through it. It could mean that. Or it could just mean when Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor," maybe He was actually talking about people that are poor. And in that case, He's saying you recognize your need for daily essentials and you yourself can't get them on your own. And so what do? You call on God to provide, and your faith grows as God comes through for you. Either way, it has to do with delayed gratification, waiting on the Lord, not taking things into your own hands, but depending on God to do it for you. By the way, as just a little aside, I can't find anywhere in the Bible that God ever promises riches to His kids. I wish I could, but that you can't find it anywhere. He never talks about if you become a believer in Jesus Christ that He's going to make you rich. But you know what He does promise? He does promise that He will meet all of your essential needs as you look to Him. We see that in both the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain where it says, "So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear?" Those essentials of life. He says, "For the pagans, the non-believers run after such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things that you need will be given to you as well." Don't take it into your own hands. Don't try to lie to get it. Don't try to steal to get it. Don't fall for that desire for instant gratification. Seek the Lord, and He will, in His perfect timing, provide for you. And then He goes on to say, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Once again, in the Sermon on the Mount, He adds words. He says, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied." It could definitely mean that. Or it could just mean if you are hungry right now and you look to God and you say, "God, help me." In His perfect time, you will be satisfied. He will take care of your needs. "Blessed are you who weep now. For if you're weeping now and you look to the Lord, whether you're weeping over your sin and asking Him for forgiveness, or you're weeping over all the many things that we cry about in this life, if you look to Him in His perfect timing, He is going to provide for you. And ultimately, when we get to heaven and He wipes away every tear from our eyes, there will be no more weeping, and it will be replaced with eternal laughter and joy. Delayed gratification. But God promises amazing things if we would wait on Him. He goes on to say, "Blessed are you when people hate you when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. He said, you're going to be blessed if you can just trust me. Have my name on your lips. Don't pretend like you don't know me like Peter did. Let people know that you're a Christian. Don't be afraid to share what God has done for you. And as you do those things, people aren't always going to respond well. In fact, Jesus said, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. That is going to happen. It comes with being a Christian. Now, what would be the instant gratification there? I want people to like me. I don't want people to exclude me or laugh at me, and so I'm just going to be an undercover Christian. I'm not going to speak up for Jesus. I'm not going to share what he's done for me. And then everyone will like me. But God says, I've got something better for you. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets as well. You see, this whole idea of delayed gratification, waiting on the Lord for something better, trusting in him, that it's going to be a whole lot better than trying to get it my way right away. Well, let's be honest. Have you always looked first to God for your needs? Or have you spent time worrying about it and trying to fix things yourself, and in the process doing things that you know the Lord wouldn't want you to do? Have you always felt badly about your sin, so badly that you were truly repentant and you said you don't ever want to do that again? Is that always how we feel about sin? Have you always been bold in your faith, even when you knew that it wouldn't be received well? I think if we're honest with ourselves here today, we can say none of us are perfect in these things. We've all failed, haven't we? And that's what it says in Romans 3. For all have sinned. All have settled for that instant gratification instead of waiting on the Lord for something better. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But then verse 24 is so good. And all are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God knew that in our sin, we would oftentimes fall to that need for instant gratification, and we would fail in our ability to wait on him and to trust in him that he's got something better. And so he took it into his own hands to do something about it. He sent his son Jesus Christ down here to this earth. And back to Luke chapter 6, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil. That's what they did to Jesus. Both the Romans and the Jews, everyone was yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus always obeyed the Father. He never settled for the easy, instant gratification, but he always waited on the Lord. He was bold in his testimony of the Father, and he paid for it on a cross. But on that cross, he was taking all of the punishment that you and I deserve for every time that we have not trusted in him and gone out on our own and settled for that instant gratification. And on that cross, he paid for it himself so that you and I would never have to pay for all of our sins. And so now the pressure is off for you and for me. And so now when we fail, we can come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. We can trust in his forgiveness and then get right back up and seek to follow him better the next time. I've got a couple of very important points for this message. And the first one is this. If you're serious about really following Jesus, and I hope that you are, you're going to have to deal with some level of delayed gratification in your life, both because of radical discipleship, because in so many of the ways that God calls us to follow him, it's going to be, wait on me, trust me, I've got something better for you. But also in addition to that, because when you seek to follow the Lord and to wait on him and to offer yourself to the Lord for his business, well, some bell must go off in hell and you become a threat to Satan and his kingdom. And so in addition to the struggles that you're going to have to wait on him, Satan is going to attack as well. All of that is going to be coming at you and me. And if you're going to consistently follow Jesus, where there's always going to be a degree of delayed gratification, you're going to have to live consistently in the word and promises of God. You and I can't do it on our own. There's too much pressure from the world and from Satan. We have to inundate ourselves with the word of God. And that's what Psalm 1 that we read responsively a little bit ago is talking about. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed is the one that is not settling for that instant gratification, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on that law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I love this analogy that he uses here in Psalm 1. He says, those that spend time with the Lord and in his word, reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, thinking about it throughout the day, they're like a tree that's planted right there next to the stream, and its roots go down into the stream and gets that regular nourishment that makes the tree healthy, and it bears good fruit for God. And that's what happens when we spend time regularly on a daily basis with the Lord in his word. In Romans 10, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where do we get the faith to trust in him? It comes from reading his word, from reading those promises that God has promised to us, that if we would just wait on him, he's got something better for us. And as we read those things over and over again, as we make a point to get them inside of us, to read, mark, and inwardly digest those things, we're going to be able to hold up so much better when the temptation of instant gratification comes our way. We see this analogy again in Jeremiah 17 of that tree planted by the stream. It says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence comes from him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear. When it doesn't fear when heat comes, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. If you think about it, the reason that we fall to that instant gratification desire is because we're scared, right? We're scared that we're not going to get what we think we need or what we want. And so instead of waiting on the Lord for that or for something even better, I jump out and do it myself. But the one who is consistently in the Word, that is spending time letting God's promises get into you is not going to fear, because those promises are going to be right there at the forefront of their heart and their mind. And we will bear fruit. That's God's plan for you and for me. I just feel like God wants us to be honest here today that a lot of times following Him, obeying Him, calls for delayed gratification, something that doesn't come naturally to us as Christians. And so this week, as we go about our week and we find those temptations to jump out and do it our way instead of waiting on God's way, remember that marshmallow test. Remember that God wants to give you something more, something better. And may God grant it to each one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.